Kent Online News.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast. Kate Faulkner.
Hello, hope you're okay and had a lovely weekend. Thank you for downloading today's podcast on Monday, the 28th of October. Coming up today, we'll hear from a Kent charity who's calling for the government to step up ahead of Wednesday's budget. We'll also hear from the Jills manager after their heartbreaking results over the weekend. But first, taking a look at our top story today, a dad from Tenham says he's refusing to pay a fine for taking his children out of school for a holiday. Paul Phipps and his wife Tara have a 14-year-old son with autism. They were given permission to take Jack out of his special needs school for a holiday to Turkey at the end of September, but his 9-year-old daughter's school refused to allow it. Paul's been chatting to our reporter Cara Simmons and says they wanted to enjoy a break away as a family.
Going in term time makes things a lot easier for us because it allows him to settle. There's not so many people around, which allows him to be a bit more free, a bit more open. Because if we're going out of term time, there's a lot more people around, which means that he's not enjoying the holiday that he should be enjoying, like many other children with disabilities. So it just allows him to be him, pretty much.
And what sort of things, if you know, Jack is in a loud environment with lots of people, what starts to happen?
If he's in a loud environment, he starts having sensory issues, which is basically a sensory overload, which means his brain's just scattered into a thousand pieces and he's then trying to connect all the bits together to make sense of what's going on, which obviously isn't fair if he's being forced to go during annual holidays and stuff, because then that just makes it even more crazy. So it's a lot better for him.
And as a dad, having to see him have that breakdown, it must be, it's quite heartbreaking, isn't it? Because you know that you want to do the best for him and make sure that he's in a good environment, and then having to put him in that environment purposefully, you know, it's not nice, is it?
Yeah, I mean, it makes it hard for us, because if we're put in the environment where we've got to take him during school holidays, then we know that when we go on holiday, it's going to be difficult, because we know that he's going to have his moments, have his... Because it could be anything from him lashing out to going withdrawn, covering his ears, which isn't a very nice holiday for any of us, because we know that he's not enjoying his holiday. That's what makes it a lot easier to go during school times.
And what are you hoping to get out of, you know, voicing this issue? What are you hoping the government will consider potentially other, you know, non-SEND schools will understand a bit more?
We're hoping the government will turn around and say that children can have, like, children with SEND needs can have one holiday a year, up to say 10, maybe 11 days, where they can go away, they can enjoy themselves, they can be at peace while they're on holiday, and so can the family, not knowing that, or knowing that they haven't got to worry about how their child is going to react and act on holiday. So that's one thing, really. And the other thing is to make everyone aware, or try and make the country aware, of the children with SEND do have issues regulating things. And it's not just black and white. There's a lot more to it. And being a parent with a child that's disabled, obviously we understand that a lot more than someone that doesn't have a disabled child. So we just want to make them people that don't have disabled children more aware of what's going on.
He set up a petition which has already had more than 100 signatures. If he doesn't pay the £80 fine within 28 days, it'll increase to £160. The family could then face further court action, including being fined up to £1,000. We've had this statement from Kent County Council.
Head teachers must decide whether to authorise a parent's request for term time leave of absence for their child based on the circumstances at the time. The Department for Education is clear that term time leave for leisure and recreational personal purposes would not generally be deemed as exceptional circumstances, a view endorsed by KCC. While KCC recognises that any form of legal intervention in any circumstances should always be a last resort when all supportive options and alternatives have been fully considered, we will support school leaders who take a robust line on the risk to children's education arising from missing regular school attendance. We will therefore issue penalty notices in line with our code of conduct when justifiable requests are made to do so by school leaders.
Kent Online News.
French authorities have confirmed the death of a man in the Channel after the small boat he was on deflated on its way to Kent. Other people on board managed to swim back to shore yesterday morning. Figures show the total number of asylum seekers to make the dangerous journey this year is now higher than the whole of 2023. Kay Marsh is from Dover-based refugee charity Samfire. She's calling for a change in policy.
It's just going to keep getting worse. You know, they're still talking about deterrence. We had hope when we got the new Labour government that they would start taking safe and legal routes seriously and actually start talking about it as a viable option, but they still haven't, you know. They don't seem interested in trying to give people an alternative to small boats.
These people in Dover have been telling us what they think needs to be done about small boat crossings.
Personally, I think we should have better methods in aiding migration and refugees.
Absolutely no idea how they could stop it.
I think the French need to do more their side of it, with us helping financing it.
The government insists their new border security command will tackle criminal gangs behind the people smuggling. A man's been found guilty of murdering his girlfriend at their home near Edenbridge. Sonia Parker was found dead on Stiles Close in Four Realms in May this year, following an argument about her use of WhatsApp. Our reporter Sean McPollen was there when the news broke on Friday.
I'm outside Maystone Crown Court, where Hussein Kalyanchu has just been found guilty of murdering his partner Sonia Parker at their home in Edenbridge earlier this year. During the course of the two-week trial, the jury heard how the 33-year-old takeaway worker had repeatedly beaten Miss Parker during their relationship, and on the morning that she was found dead, she had injuries similar to being kicked, punched and stamped on. The jury retired yesterday and gave their verdict just after 3 p.m. today. They found him guilty and he is to be sentenced on December 11th.
Elsewhere, a man's been jailed for 16 years for killing a man in Dover. Derek O'Hare was stabbed in the stairwell of a block of flats in Anstey Road last December. 36-year-old AJ Porter, who used to live in Oswald Road, was found guilty of manslaughter. He'll serve another 4 years on licence. A former employee at a children's home in Kent has been convicted of abusing young boys. Duncan Bales denied carrying out multiple offences at homes in Deal and Ramsgate more than 30 years ago. The 64-year-old from Margate High Street is due to be sentenced in January. Members of a criminal gang who hid cocaine and drug equipment in empty flats in Ramsgate have been jailed. Police found more than £30,000 worth of cocaine, which had been stashed with the help of a lettings agent who was paid to give them access. Three men have been locked up for a total of 21 and a half years. The letting agent has been ordered to do 150 hours of unpaid work.
Kent Online News.
A Kent charity is calling for more support for ordinary people in the new government's first budget. Sir Keir Starmer is already warning of unprecedented economic challenges and says the spending plan will embrace the harsh light of fiscal reality. The Treasury needs to find £40 billion in tax hikes and spending cuts to avoid a return to austerity. Lucy's been chatting to Neil Charlick from Gillingham Street Angels, which supports people living in poverty across Medway.
Well, I think at the moment it's all doom and gloom. I think it's a sorry situation. The numbers of the people we're assisting, it's just growing. It's not just about food anymore. People are struggling across the board. We do other things. We give out bedding, clothing, furniture, school uniform. We've just recently opened up a hub to start helping people with advice. We're getting other organisations to work with us so we can try and get the advice to the people out there. I think it's just a struggle in general. I can't see any end to it at the moment, sadly.
One of the things that people are kind of speculating might be in this budget is a freeze on income tax threshold. So that will mean as people earn more, they have to pay more tax. I mean, it mostly impacts those earning, you know, high amounts. But what are your thoughts on that?
I mean, luckily for us, most of the people we deal with, pretty much everyone we deal with, isn't on a high amount anyway. So, you know, it is punish, I think, punish the people who need to be. All these corporations, businesses that are getting away tax-free. Why are we not? Why does nobody go after these people? Why are we just hitting the people in the pocket who can't afford it? It seems to be the same story all the time. You've got all these massive people out there just paying no tax. You know, they're tax havens in other countries. And the man on the street who's working class, trying to help do his bit for the community gets nothing. It just seems harsh. Whoever's in power seems harsh. Do you hear about these businesses, massive organisations out there are paying no tax or paying next to nothing tax because they're registered abroad, they're trading somewhere else? If you operate in our country, you pay taxes, as simple as that. You can't Luxembourg, you know, or something like that, and you're all these countries that are abroad. It's just not right. And you see a lot of that would, I think, solve the problem probably overnight. We'd have enough money to do everything rather than just constantly crucifying the man on the street. And that's the person who gets hammered every single time. It's the small people who just can't afford it. People at breaking point.
Yeah, I mean, I know you guys are, well, heading into winter now, you guys will be stepping up even more from what you're doing with helping people who are on the streets and helping people in poverty. I mean, is there anything that you think the government could announce next Wednesday that would really give you a bit of hope and would help people most?
I think the winter fuel allowance is a dreadful idea. People are going to die. People are going to die because of that. And it's that, you know, that reversing that, I think, would be a good thing. But there's got to be some assistance out there for the people that are struggling to get through this, to get through Christmas, get through winter, get through. And there's just got to be some help. You can't constantly just keep hammering people for money and giving them problems. They've got to do something to help these people.
The Chancellor will deliver the budget in a speech on Wednesday.
Kent Online News.
More than 600 people have objected to plans for 140 new homes on the edge of a village near Ashford. Developers want to build on grassland at Cotton Hill in Ham Street, which is currently used to grow turf. Residents have raised concerns about traffic and possible flooding. A decision is expected to be made by January the 13th. A person's been treated by paramedics after breathing in smoke during a house fire in Ramsgate. It broke out on St Andrew's Road yesterday evening. Witnesses have described seeing thick black smoke pouring out of the property. Campaigners are celebrating after Canterbury City Council has U-turned on a decision to increase car parking charges in Herne. More than 1,700 people signed a petition after the daily rate at the school lane site was hiked from £2.20 to £15. A council spokesperson has told the Kent Online podcast the changes will take effect from next April after a consultation. Plans have been put in for 90 homes and new businesses on the edge of a village near Sittingbourne. The idea is to develop land on Bobbing Hill, off Sheppey Way, with employment opportunities opposite. It's thought a decision on the homes could be made early in the new year. An Ashford family say they're fed up with the noise of musical instruments coming from the house next door. Magdalena and David, who didn't want to give the podcast their surname, say the problem has been going on for the past 4 years. However, the neighbours claim it's their children who are studying for their GCSEs. Our reporter Oliver Leonard went to meet Magdalena.
So how long has this noise been going on for?
4 years, from when we started living here.
What sort of musical instruments do they play?
So they are playing a drum, like you hear, piano, a tram, and normal radio.
Normal radio. And what sort of time does this happen, if it's every day? All day, every day?
Yeah. So if, I don't know if the men work or not, but for an instance, on Monday, it was 8, before 8 o'clock, it was full music here. So...
And how does it sort of affect your day-to-day life?
Probably the worst is the mental health, because we try to spoke with them a few times and doesn't change. And my daughter, she cannot do her homework, she cannot go to bed on the time.
Okay, so what sort of time at night do they play to around?
So yesterday was after 8 o'clock, they was playing on this tram, so... You never know what time they're going to start it.
Ashford Borough Council has confirmed it's reviewing complaints and may take action.
Kent Online News.
A vigil's been held in Margate in memory of Liam Payne. Fans gathered at the clock tower yesterday afternoon following the death of the former One Direction star. They left flowers, balloons and handwritten notes paying tribute to the 31-year-old. Work is underway to repair Deal Pier following a survey earlier this year. £140,000 is being spent on fixing the concrete beams and the steps that lead down to the lower deck. It's expected to take 12 weeks. The main part of the pier and cafe at the end will remain open while work takes place. Almost £300,000 is going to be spent on improving cycle routes in Canterbury. Levelling up cash will be used on 6 routes in the city. A cycling group has been consulted on it, with works planned for areas including St Stephen's, Old Ruttington Lane and Sun Street. It's hoped a new co-working space in Chatham will give small businesses and entrepreneurs a place to set up. The building on Railway Street is now known as Platform 26 after a 4-year refurb. It's got meeting rooms as well as an office space and a studio. MP Tris Osborne has been speaking to Deputy Gabriel Morris from the local Democracy Reporting Service.
This is a really important business hub, situated right in the town centre next to a newly opened restaurant, Gurkha Fire, and also next to a massive regeneration site, which the Department for Media, Culture and Sport are investing millions of pounds in the heart of a part of Chatham which we're looking to regenerate over the next 5 years. So this is a critical. Lots of small businesses are also setting up here. This office has a digital capability, so it encourages people to innovate. And I can say that the modern environment is really innovative, and I think it will encourage lots of young people to come and work here and share ideas and collaborate.
How needed is a venue like this for Chatham Four Medway?
Well, look, we do have a lot of old corporate venues, big office blocks. That style of working now is becoming old school. People work from home, they work remotely. So actually that sort of joined up collaborative co-working style actually is where we're moving as an economy, where people can work flexibly, sit at, you know, calm, have a cup of coffee, have a drink, collaborate with ideas. So this is actually the way that the world is moving. We're setting up something similar at Medway Council in the Pentagon Centre, and this is a private venture as well. So it will work. We've already got business interest. Businesses are already on site in here.
Kent Online News.
A Kent Rescue Centre is appealing for help after 6 black kittens arrived ahead of Halloween. It's thought they may have been abandoned because they're harder to sell than cats of other colours. Staff at the Wisteria site in Rochester say they're struggling to cope with rising demand. After a 2-year wait, work can finally begin on the new Aldi store in Ashford. The Waterbrook Park site was approved by the Towns Council in 2022, but planning conditions prevented the national chain from starting construction. It's just one of a handful of new developments at the retail park, including a Taco Bell, KFC and leisure centre. Strictly pro Amy Dowden has been rushed to hospital after Saturday night's show. The dancer, who's paired up with Kent's JB Gill, has Crohn's disease and returned to the series in August after receiving cancer treatment. A spokesperson says she's now feeling much better. JB has thanked the public for their support. Craig David has been on our sister radio station KMFM chatting about his new song In Your Hands and performing at Dreamland in Margate. He's remixed a classic school assembly tune for his latest track. He's been telling Ben on the Hit List why it's taken him so long to release new music.
What I've learned over the years, I mean, the first album was like in 2000, so there's like 24 years of tunes, which is unbelievable to me. I always liken it the spaces between notes in a chord, or the spaces between words in a song. Like, you need to have those spaces to appreciate the next melody. You need to appreciate the space between the notes. And I've now seen that actually, even though it feels like you're pulling back a bit, actually it's when you come back and you land something like the new single In Your Hands, it feels like, ah, now we're ready for something new.
This is very different to what this should be. You're using the primary school banger, the assembly hymn, so to speak, that I used to sing in assembly when I was back in Folkestone at Park Farm Primary School. We used to do all of that. How long had you been playing around with that idea of using that sample or using that on the chorus?
So, I mean, I originally wrote the song about a year or so ago. We went back in, I revisited the tune, and I walked out of the studio having listened to it, saying, yeah, I love it, we're good to go. And then I just got this crazy download, very divinely, of, you got the hover in your head, you got... And I looked at the producer, Mike, who had been doing the track with me, and he looked at me and I was like, turn that mic back on, let me go, I need to just cut this vocal quick. And if I could give it context to give what that really I'm trying to say in the song, and land it with the beat and the new melodies and the whistles, we're onto something here. So when I see people like, oh my God, like I remember this when I was like, we're already in your feels right now.
Can you remember anything about your time in Margate at all? How was your experience at Dreamland?
Do you know what I've got to say? And I promise I'm not just gassing this up, but Dreamland is one of my favorite shows to perform at. Like, I just love it. It's the way in which the stage is set up and the way it banks up and you just, the crowd, it's like, it feels like you're at sort of a fun fair. Literally, because there is like roller coaster rides and bits and bobs going behind, but you feel that way. So you walk on stage, it's like, and I remember the first time I did it was the same feeling. And I always was saying, oh, please, I need to come and do this show again. So when I got booked to come and do it again, like this year, I was like, oh my God. So firstly, you got me in the bag. You won me at Hello. Leading from that is then going on and saying like, the people are so up for it and so appreciative of what's going on. I just love it. So yeah, you've got this kid in me just like wants to go Dreamland.
You can listen to the full interview at kmfm.co.uk. And video at Kent Online shows a pod of dolphins are swimming in the River Medway. They were spotted near Hoo yesterday morning.
Kent Online Sports.
football now, and it was heartbreak for Gillingham as they were denied a much-needed victory by a late Swindon Town equaliser on Saturday. More than 1,100 Gills fans made the journey to the southwest for the League 2 match. The 1-1 draw leaves the Gills 11th in the table and six games without a win. Here's manager Mark Bonner.
It feels like a defeat, obviously, when we're so close to taking 3 points from the game, which I think we deserved. Yeah, hard one to take for us, hard one to take for supporters, hard one to take for players, and a really hard one to sum up straight after the game.
Controlled pretty much the whole game from start to finish, didn't we? And it's that, just that one chance at the end is gutted, an understatement.
Yeah, I thought we controlled the first half well. Obviously, the early red card for them. We didn't execute enough of the attacks that we had because we had some really good moments on the break or even in control of the game. And probably got a little bit too slow in our own half at times. And didn't penetrate or get enough bodies high up the pitch, but we had chances and we didn't get the second goal, which is the killer in the game. If you don't kill that beast, they'll come back and bite you, and they did right at the end there. So yeah, we had some breakaway moments second half, we had some controlled moments second half, we had some set play moments second half, but we haven't connected with the ball properly, or we've lost our foot in things like that. Like, they're the moments where we've got to bring the game to life a bit more and do more to get the second one, because there's always one chance then away from it. And we were never really under huge threat in the game either. We had good control. We controlled Harry Smith quite well, quite far away from our goal. But that's what he does. That's the dimension that he gives them. And in the last moment where they're chasing it and we don't quite get it right, they get the goal and we go home with a point, which is a positive from ending a losing run. But not when you're 94 minutes in and leading, for sure.
And your back's put over 1,100 Gills fans just over your left-hand shoulder. I know it would have been nice to send them away with 3 points. How much do you value their backing this afternoon?
Yeah, really good. Really good all throughout the game, before the game, first half. And then just wanted to celebrate a win because we're all desperate for one. And we had the game there for that. In that situation, so to drop the points and to drop that chance right at the end that makes it a point, that makes it feel like a loss as well, no question. Yeah, that's tough for us to take.
They've got a break from games this week. Their next match is against Port Vale at Priestfield on November 9th. That's all from us today. Thanks ever so much for listening. Don't forget, you can follow us on Facebook, X, Instagram, TikTok and Threads. You can also get the details on the top stories direct to your email each morning via The Briefing. To sign up, just head to kentonline.co.uk.
News you can trust.
This is the Kent Online Podcast.